Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We are studying in our Bibles the account of given in 1 Samuel chapter 8 of how Israel rejected God's plan for them to be ruled by judges and rejected Samuel, probably the greatest of all the judges that they had and the last judge that they had that ruled in this regard, and instead desired to be like the nations round about them and their desire for a king. And our teacher, E.A. Elam, has written a special essay to go with this Sunday school lesson that he had written for the Sunday schools of the churches for the year of 1923. This was for the Sunday of May 6th, 1923. And we are in the process of looking at that essay, and we'll return to that essay in just a moment. But before we do, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Now, our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now with that, we're going to return to the essay we were studying in our last class period and continue with this application and show that when we reject, we are like Israel in rejecting God. When we reject God's plan for His church. Now here's how the essay reads. A simple church at a place that is a independent local congregation with its elders and deacons and other members, Philippians 1:1, is all the organizing and centralizing God wants for His church. To turn away from God's church and church government now is to turn away from God. And to reject these plans that God has given us is to reject God. But what if the elders of the church will not work? Let it be remembered that Samuel's wicked sons failed to do their work. Still, it was a rejection of God to reject His system or government, even when perverted by mean men. Why not turn the rascals out and select honest and righteous judges? The wickedness of Samuel's sons furnished a pretext for asking for a king, and a failure on the part of the elders and of the church now to do the work God requires furnishes a pretext to those who are not satisfied with the New Testament order of things for asking for a change of God's way. This is a trick of Satan. He took advantage of the corruption and wicked practices of Samuel's sons to suggest a change in God's government. He doubtless pointed out to the elders of Israel the centralization and solidarity of other nations under kings and how they had succeeded, and that the Israelites and their spasmodic and irregular way of opposing their enemies could not succeed, and that the Lord's plan just would not work. Satan practices the same trick today. When elders fail in qualifications and duties, and the church drags along, Satan steps in and suggests a change. He never suggests that the church should have intelligent, active, scriptural elders doing scriptural work. His special effort is to persuade the church that God's way will not work, and that all the denominations practice the one-man pastor or one-man minister system, and that the church must be like them and do as they do or fail. Hence, frequently, a novice, 1 Timothy 3:6, a beardless youth, is installed as the pastor or the minister of the church, and the elders are practically laid on the shelf. When the church fails to endeavor to do the will of God in developing the young members, Satan becoming at once very much interested in their spiritual welfare, never suggests that the church should be stirred up to the discharge of its duty, but proposes to organize an endeavor society which will do this particular work. When the church fails to associate as it should, Satan, becoming interested in Christian associations, proposes the organization of an association which will do this work. When the church fails to do missionary work, Satan, suddenly turning missionary and shedding great crocodile tears over the poor heathen who are dying without the gospel, never suggests that the church should be taught and trained as such to do the work, but proposes to furnish a missionary organization which will do it for them, to deliver the Israelites from their enemies at one time, in one way, by one judge, and to deliver them at another time, in a different way, by another judge, as God did not seem to them wise and sufficient. They thought they could improve on this. They preferred their wisdom to God's wisdom. The apostles and New Testament evangelists, and therefore the church, preached the gospel in about 30 years to all the known world. Yet the way which they did it seems now to many people unbusinesslike, haphazard, and inefficient. Business in religion is their cry, to organize one huge central national institution, not because it's God's will to do so, but because of their judgment, and their judgment approves it. It seems to them to be the most efficient way. Satan's next move was to pervert into a central ecclesiastical government these very organizations which were established for spreading the gospel. No wonder he is called the deceiver of the whole world, Revelation 12 and verse 9. He fashioneth himself into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. If these elders of Israel had not protested against Samuel's sons, they had not done right. If the elders failed to do their duty now, the church should protest against their dereliction and, if possible, arouse them to a sense of their duty. If not possible to do this, then the church should raise up those who will do the work. But God's order can never be changed, and he who attempts it rejects God. If the church will not do missionary work, it should be taught and stirred up until it will. But his people should never turn to other organizations and hire them out to do their missionary work for them. Let it be remembered that God did not justify the wickedness of Samuel's sons because the Israelites rejected him in wanting a king, and it does not justify the church in idleness, indifference, and covetousness because some do wrong. The only successful way to overcome error and wrong is for the church to do earnestly and faithfully the work that God has committed to it. Doubtless, these elders of Israel did not intend to reject God. Piblet's select note says, at the bottom of the people's desire for a king lay the delusion that the kingdom would be an aid in addition to God. The very thought proved that they no longer held God to be their all-powerful and all-sufficient ruler. When the Israelites made the golden calf, they intended it as an aid to the worship of God, Exodus 32 and verse 5. So all these modern aid societies, missionary organizations, and other human religious institutions and denominations sprang from the delusion that God's ordained church, bought with the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, is not sufficient to accomplish God's work. Humanity has never committed the great blunder and sin of trying to supplant God's wisdom, God's institutions to aid him in his purpose and plans, and to help him out of his difficulties. This is a great sin against God, because it is a rejection of him. God told Samuel that as the people had forsaken him and served other gods ever since he had delivered them from Egypt, so they were doing then also in asking for a king, 1 Samuel 8 and verse 8. They fell in the wilderness because of unbelief, because they did not think God's ways and means were adequate to accomplish his purpose. Just so the church is solemnly warned today against unbelief and falling away from God. Let me read to you from the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 3 in this context. And Hebrews chapter 3 begins, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, even Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also was Moses and all his house. For he hath been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by so much that he that built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken. But Christ is a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm to the end. Wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, like as in the days of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by proving me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was displeased with this generation and said, they do always err in their own hearts. But as they did not know my ways, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, as long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm to the end. While it is said, today ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16. "For who, when they heard, did provoke? Nay, did not all they that came out of Egypt by Moses? And with whom was he displeased 40 years? Was it not them that sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but unto them that were disobedient? And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief." Now, Samuel was going to tell them the manner of the king. God told them to protest solemnly unto them and to show them what the king would do in oppressing them. He would make charioteers and horsemen and captains and other soldiers and manufacturers of implements of war and plowmen of their sons. And the goodliest of them would he make perfumers and cooks and bakers of their daughters. He would confiscate their fields and vineyards and olive yards. He would take even the best of them and give them to his servants. He would take their servants, their asses, and the best of their herds in his own work. He would tax them to the tenth of the products of their fields and vineyards and flocks to maintain his officers and his kingdom. And he would make servants of them all. In all these ways he would oppress them until they should cry out into distress unto Jehovah. But he would not hear. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. And we'll be reading that in our next class, for we're about out of time today. Join us in our next class as we continue this study. And come visit us when you can at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff.